Okay, here's the second question. This comes from Mariah. Is it okay? Now look, some of these you say, really? I mean, isn't the answer obvious? But you'd be amazed pastorally how often we have to deal with questions that might seem obvious. Mariah, is it okay for married brothers? So we've got married Christians, men, in leadership positions, pastors, elders, deacons, etc., to casually text or email single sisters? Why or why not? Are there any exceptions? I'm not sure why Mariah would ask this, but you know, you can imagine. I could imagine if a young lady, newly saved, in a church, she hears that some of her friends are receiving casual texts from church officers who are married. Is that reason for alarm, for concern? You raise your eyebrows. If it was happening in this church, would it just be normal, normative, okay? I mean, you know what came to my mind is she ought to go ask those men's wives, right? I mean, ladies, come on. I don't know how many, I think most of the ladies in here are single. But ladies, if you were married to a church officer and your husband, now did you notice the adjective? Casually texting. I text with certain sisters in the church, not casually, because it's easier than a phone call. But casually, ladies, would you be okay with that? Or would you say, well, there's exceptions. There would be times it would be okay. But I mean, just to find out, you know, if you found your husband's phone, you're, you know, getting ready to do laundry, whatever, empty his pocket, hey, there's his phone, and you see, wow, he's texting single sisters in the church casually. You okay with that? Grace, you okay with that? Or does it depend? Is everybody okay with it?
No.
Well, there you go. Emotional attachment. I mean, is there a text in the Bible that says, thou shall not text single women? Well, of course not. But
question back, how would she feel? How would you feel, how would she feel if she was married? To somebody doing that, more of a
person. Right. No, that would be very appropriate to put that back in her lap. But she doesn't say if she's single or not, so I don't know. She may actually be the wife of one of the guys. I'm not sure. There's not enough detail there for me to know. But we know this. Just a couple texts. Matthew 15:19. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. Or if you think of 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Here's the thing. And let's just think about this. Men in ministry fall all the time. All the time. It happens a lot. Single young ladies are vulnerable. And the thing is, are we really ignorant as to how infidelity happens? I mean, we're not. It's like James is talking about. You know what? I can imagine that probably, you know, there are the guys that There are the guys that they prey on women. They get into places of power and they prey on them. Their idea right up front is they've There's no restraint. But I have a feeling that a lot of the men that fall, they never thought they would. They did not start out intending to. I mean, how does infidelity happen when there's at first is no intention to it? It doesn't happen like that. Yeah, it happens by stages, by degrees, by steps. And what happened? Well, sexual immorality is a matter of the heart. What happens is the heart gets involved, the affections, the emotions. And how does it happen? Well, through communication. Certainly through communication. And what happens is you know there's communication that goes back and forth, and then we're not ignorant about this. And the thing is, if you're in ministry, you're especially going to be a target of the devil. And it's just casual. That's the thing. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And the thing is, it's private. You end up having private communication with a woman who's not your wife when you do have a wife, and that's exactly the kind of communication where suddenly, you know, the hook goes in the heart. I mean, it's just that kind of communication. I'm not saying that it always leads to that, but certainly the men that fall, they were doing things just like this. And if we're supposed to flee from this, we need to run from it like you'd run from Catholicism like the plague. You need to run from these kind of things. We need to be very careful. Because the moment we get presumptuous and say, well, you know, I can play with that fire and it's not going to burn me, that's the second God, you may even be a true child of God, and God may allow you, like David, to fall flat on your face. And it can just destroy your life, your marriage, your family, your ministry, for sure.